This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Cheryl.
Tig.
I wasn't quite sure that this episode was going to be so fun.
Yeah, because even though the... I mean, should I say the name of the... Yeah. Even though it's...
Oh, God. How do you not know how this works?
Well, I know at the end I'm going to say it. But the documentary that we're talking about today is Tickled. So it sounds
funny. It sounds fun. But it's not.
It's not funny.
But we had a lot of fun.
I
feel like we had a lot of fun this episode.
My face hurts.
Yeah. Is that related to this?
Yes. My face hurts from laughing. I don't know why.
Well, because we just had a really fun episode.
So, ladies and jerks, welcome to Tickled.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Welcome home, Cheryl.
Thank you. I know. I'm back from Florida. Do you know I'm from Florida?
You almost had trouble saying it.
I did.
Do you know I'm from I'm so excited. I can't wait to tell you I'm from Florida.
I always have trouble saying something.
Yes.
It's just a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, Tig.
I don't want to jump ahead, but I have to jump ahead because I can't wait to acknowledge.
You're spilling beans?
I just have to acknowledge how many people in this documentary had Florida shirts on.
By the way, a lot of it takes place in Florida.
What?
It's like
on earth.
And some tank tops, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I had to I did an interview yesterday, and the interviewer asked me to look up some photos to send in of myself from when I was 28.
What? That's so specific.
Well, the article is about being 28.
28?
Yeah.
You specifically or when people are 28?
Yeah. They talked to different people about when they were 28. And so I found a photo, and lo and behold.
You were wearing a tank top.
I was. I looked good. I was on a boat in a tank top.
Were you in Florida?
I was not. I was in Big Bear.
Oh, that seems like an inappropriate place to wear a tank top.
Where is appropriate? You already said there's no place.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it, it should be Florida.
I was on the lake. I had rented a boat. I was floating around, had my tank top on.
Okay. Big Bear is in California. For whoever might be listening and doesn't know this, which, by the way, I would have never known that. But I will say, since we talked about tank tops and sleeveless blouses, I've seen a few pictures of women that look cute in a tank top.
Wait till you see.
Hashtag.
Hashtag hot tig. Yeah. In a tank top.
What do you smoke? Cigarellos in that movie?
Yeah, Swisher Sweets.
What is that? Like a tiny lady cigar?
Well, and men and women and men non-binary, non-binary okay. cigars.
We don't have to label everything. It doesn't have to be a
label. You're the one labeling.
I'm telling everybody I understand what you're saying. We don't have to. I don't have to say lady cigar. We can say non-binary cigar. Okay. Tickled is a 2016 New Zealand documentary directed by David Ferrier and Dylan Reeve. The film explores the bizarre subculture of competitive endurance tickling, which leads the journalist filmmakers down a rabbit hole of shell companies and shadowy figures. Tickled is distributed by Magnolia Pictures and debuted in the U.S. at the 2016 Sundance Film Festival. Oh gosh, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. Because when you hear that it's called Tickled.
Sounds fun.
It sounds so funny and fun.
However, tickling is fun.
It's not.
But it's funny.
There is not one.
It is funny. Oh, it is. Are you you're ticklish. I can tell you're ticklish.
Well, by the way, that sounds like you're judging me.
Of
you're ticklish.
I
can tell by the way you look. But what does that even mean?
I can just picture you stuck in a tickle lockdown. And
are you ticklish?
Yes, but you know what's really funny? And Stephanie didn't know this. Mm. I don't think she remembers this. But
and she's not listening.
No, she listens. Hey, girl, hey. you almost did a spit take. When Stephanie and I got together, she asked me if I was ticklish. And I told her no. Because
you never wanted to be tickled.
I didn't want her to tickle me. And she just took my word. And she never,
to this day,
never tried to tickle me. And I'm ticklish, Cheryl. Cheryl, I'm ticklish. Oh, God.
Tig, I wish we were in the same room.
Why?
Not because then I would try to tickle you, which is weird. Listen, tickling is a weird, it's a very weird thing.
Wait a
is
minute.
It not?
Wait a when we were in the same room, you would try to tickle me. Where there are so many ways to go about trying to tickle somebody. Where would be your attack zone?
Oh gosh. I think I think maybe like the side of the stomach.
Okay, little.
Is that where you would
little too intimate?
Well, every place is intimate under your arms.
I'd come around from behind you, and I'd grab your midriff, and I'd just grab a hold, and I'd just tickle you. I'd tump you to the ground. I'd just tickle you.
I'd tickle you. Do you pee in your pants? I'd tickle you so hard.
Here's what's interesting.
Yes, tell me.
I have this issue where my left leg.
Uh-oh.
What?
I don't know. It's a weird way to start. Like an issue with my left leg is very specific and weird. Go ahead.
It's ticklish. That's all. I mean,
like right above.
Try and turn this into something that it's not. My left leg's ticklish.
Right above your knee.
You can't handle that?
Right above your knee.
Well, I'm not going to tell you because I don't trust being in a room with you again.
Right.
Because as soon as I see you, I know you're going to hunch down and come at me like a weird aunt. And be like, come here.
A weird old aunt.
No,
I'm going to wait till we're in a very serious place. And then I'm going to reach over.
Where might that be?
I don't know.
Please, fill me in.
Have we
ever been in a serious place?
We were at a fundraiser once and someone was giving a serious speech.
What? No. Where? Where?
In Beverly Hills. Joe Kennedy. Oh. Little Joe. Yeah.
Oh, Little Joe. Yeah. Oh, okay, sure. Little Joe.
Little Joe.
Well, I needed to be finding, these photos for me when I was 28 and I came across a picture of me with you in a headlock.
What? That's not true.
It is. I'll send it to you.
Oh, my God. Why?
Maybe I was hugging you from behind, but it looked like, and I did immediately, I was like, why do I have Cheryl in a headlock? And I was like, oh, I think I'm hugging you. I came up from behind you, and I was hugging you around your neck, but it looks like you're in a headlock. So it could have escalated to a tickle competition.
That would be, listen, if somebody came up to me and tickled me, I would not It would not be okay.
Well, okay, but where are you most ticklish?
See, I don't even know. It's been so long since someone's tickled me because it's not, I don't find it funny.
Okay, but if somebody was tickling me.
Yeah.
You would laugh.
Oh, that would be funny. That would be funny.
You'd be laughing hysterically.
But so when someone tickles you, does it feel slightly good?
No. Who does it feel good to?
I don't know.
Why is it so weird that you're in you're so uncomfortable and you're laughing harder than you've ever laughed?
I don't know.
I didn't really think you'd have the answer.
Oh. I mean, we probably should have Googled it before we started because that's a very good question.
Why?
People aren't
Maybe
expecting
while
answers.
We're talking, our producer can do some Googling. Why is tickling uncomfortable? Have you ever had any pleasure when you were being tickled? I know it's been decades.
No. I mean, you know, my friend Barry Sonnenfeld, the director, well, I don't know why we were talking about tickling one day, but his theory was
yes.
You're ticklish until you become sexually active or like sexually matured, and then it's not funny.
I wish people could have seen your face when you delivered, and then it's not funny. Like you were wanting everyone to know that you're sexually matured. You got so serious about that.
Well, it's just, and so by the way, so when you're watching this film, it is, isn't it awkward?
Like watching, it is awkward, because you know it's so much more awkward.
Huh.
It's watching this awkward tickling on the movie and laughing alone in my hotel while I'm watching grown men tickle each other. Then when I realized I was laughing by myself, I was watching and I was like this, Cheryl, look. Were you not?
No, I did not.
You didn't smirk or smile or laugh?
No, because it makes me feel so.
I hated it. If that helps, I hated it.
So you were laughing and hating it.
Oh, I wish they'd stop.
Yeah, it goes on for too long.
Oh. Oh.
Ugh.
Cheryl.
Yeah.
Way
it's too long.
It's too
like
long.
A tickle. If you are going to tickle somebody, it should be like, hey, gotcha. That's it.
Hey, gotcha. Okay. I'll watch my left leg around you for the hey, gotcha moment.
It doesn't need to be like a, you know, why do you remember being liking to be tickled?
I would imagine as a child, I thought I liked it because I was laughing and smiling and probably seemed happier than I'd ever been, ever.
But deep inside, you hated it.
Yeah, it's like when you are detached from your true feelings.
Yeah.
It's probably one of those first times in life when you're splitting from how you really feel.
Right.
Because it's so confusing.
Yes. We just got a little bulletin of information. I'm not even. You want me to try?
Yeah, you want to try?
I'll try it. I mean, I already see one word that I don't know. Scientists trusted source found being tickled stimulates your hypothalamus, the area of the brain in charge of your emotional reactions, and your fight or flight and pain responses. When you're tickled, you may be laughing, not because you're having fun, but because you're having an autonomic. Okay, emotional response. In fact, the body movements of someone being tickled often mimic those of someone in severe pain.
Mm.
Yes.
That's what you were going to say.
It feels like severe pain.
That's what you were. Yes, that's what you were going to say.
That is weird that your body reacts that way.
Your body reacts that way. What is that that animal on the Muppets that sounds like hypothalamus?
Oh, a snuffleupagus?
Yeah, it's your snuffleupagus. When you get tickled, your snuffleupagus
reacts. Okay, so shall we move towards Tickled, the documentary, for a moment? So these two filmmakers in New Zealand heard about competitive endurance tickling competitions.
That has never crossed my desk. Has it crossed yours? How do you hear about this?
I don't know, but they were intrigued and they thought, now that sounds funny.
What would you do if you came across that? That crossed your desk.
Yeah. I would Google it.
Oh, you would?
Why would you not?
No, I think this is what would happen. I'm on the computer and for whatever reason, competitive Googling. I would do that. That would pique my interest, people. Going head to head Googling stuff. That's really great.
I got it first.
Oh my gosh, that is our spinoff podcast, competitive Googling. The producer gives you a topic and you Google your face off.
Okay, so wait, what you were going to
Okay, if I was sitting at my desk doing some work, somehow competitive tickling pops up on my screen. I would have had to have veered off from my workload that day.
Yeah, so you've done something.
Okay, something has led me there.
Yes.
I would be like, oh boy. That's weird. That would be my response.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it'd be more like this. Competitive tickling. Oh, boy.
You boy. Those yeah, people. Boy. It reminds me of, because somebody had said that there was a laugh therapy. Have you ever heard of that?
I have. It's called stand-up comedy.
No, but there are like groups that get together and then they
force laughter.
Yeah, force laughter.
Yeah. I used to do that on my old podcast. I used to have a segment called Force Laughter. And we would laugh with our guest at the end. And it didn't feel good.
No, it's weird. But when I was younger, we would do...
Judgmental. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, it's a weird, you know. We played a game called Ha. Did you ever play a game called Ha?
It sounds so fun.
Somebody lies on the floor, and then you lie on
your head on the stomach.
Yeah, and then the next person lies on. And so it's like this chain, and then the first person says Ha. But, you know, your head is bobbling, and then the second person says Ha Ha. And then everybody's head starts bobbling. It sounds dirty now that I'm saying it because it's like.
Were you clothed? You specifically, were you clothed or did you show up naked to play Ha?
I thought it was, I had complete wrong idea about what that game was.
You have a six pack in your hand and you show up naked to play Ha.
People are like, what are you doing?
Who invited Heinz?
Okay.
So if you're sitting in your office and you got your laptop open. Yeah. And competitive tickling comes across your desk. Act out how you would.
Be like, whoa, I never heard of that. That sounds insane. Oh, push play.
And then would you try and
get involved?
Sign up for the $2,000?
Well, okay, yeah. So that does like veer us back on track.
Oh,
so
good.
In this film, these guys decide to learn more about this tickling competition, and they found out that there's this woman, Jane O'Brien, who is paying these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were all guys, like young, I don't know. Did you get the feeling that they were like late teens or early 20s?
Yeah, I was going to say it seems like 15 to 22.
Yeah.
15 to 20.
Yeah. And so
64. What if there's one old guy that showed up?
Just hey, like, tickle me.
Hey, I'm kind of ticklish.
Well, that's the thing that I didn't honestly, I don't know why I didn't think that this was somehow going to be a weird sexual fetish for somebody. Did you think that when you started watching it?
No.
Because you watch it and you're like, this is hilarious and cute. And then all of a sudden.
Well, I didn't think it was hilarious and cute. I thought it was hilarious. I didn't think it was cute. To see grown 15 to 20 year old men who are not seemingly gay, you know what I mean, on each other.
Well, right. So one of them would have to be, I guess, tied up.
That's the part that wasn't cute.
That's when it starts to get like, oh, this is, wait
a
second.
How is it that you and I both are watching this and we don't think it's sexual? We're both
like Uncle Frank tickling you before you go to bed.
First of all, if Uncle Frank is tickling you before you go to bed, that's also not cute or okay. You need to talk to your parents or call the police, okay?
Yeah, so in the film...
And honey, Uncle Frank's going to come in your room and tickle you before bed.
Saying he comes in your room, but I'm saying, you know, if you're eight and you're saying goodnight to all the grown-ups and you hug him and he tickles you for 1 second, oh, hey, and you laugh and run off. See, even that sounds weird.
You and the really quick tickles that run in the family.
I just wanted
you
to
and
be,
Uncle Frank.
I wanted to be just, as fast as possible.
It's a get in and get out mission.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So this woman, Jane O'Brien, pays these guys $2,000, which is a lot of money. Yeah.
Just an envelope shows up.
Yeah. And all you have to do, it starts out like, okay, this is feels weird, but okay. And then another guy sits on top of the guy that's tied up on his
chest.
At
what point did you and I clue in? How long into the documentary are we like,
this
woman just loves boys tickling each other?
I don't know why. I mean, at that moment, I was like, oh, you know, there's this book called Billion Wicked Thoughts. Oh. I read a long time ago. I'm just letting you know I read a book. But it was interesting because It was about people's sexual fantasies and desires and things before the internet. You know, they would do...
you had to go check that book out at the library.
Yes. They would do questionnaires with people. Sit down and ask them what they liked, what they didn't like. And nobody's answering that. You know, they're not saying, I like to do it with goats. Nobody's saying that. And then
Cheryl,
the internet comes
out.
That
is not vegan.
I like to do it with blueberry pie. But then the internet comes out and people are Googling some crazy ass schnitz. And then you realize, oh, there are a billion wicked thoughts. And
you're like, oh, there are other people like me. Is that what you were thinking?
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's what they talked about in this documentary too, like the one guy who said, you know, he grew up, he was always fascinated with tickling, and then at some point he looked online and was like, oh, other people love it too.
Yeah, that's one of the guys in the
documentary. That's one of the guys.
It's yeah, it wasn't the main.
No, it was one of
antagonists.
The nice. It was one of the nice ticklers.
Yeah, he was a nice tickler, and he seemed to be comfortable.
Yeah,
with
his tickling and the ticklees. The people that got tickled.
All right, step right up. You got your ticklers and your ticklees. Now, wait, that... Are you a tickler or ticklee? All right, get on this set and you can get on that set. I'm going to blow a whistle. And Cheryl, that book that you read,
yeah,
was it? Back up and help me understand.
Yeah.
This book is.
It was written by a psychologist. I couldn't tell you here.
And what drew you to that book?
I like psychology books. I like books. I am very drawn to psychology, and I think somebody had told me about it, but I thought it was so interesting because I'm very interested in what people think and then what people will actually share with other people.
And that book is about different fetishes.
It's not so much about different fetishes. It's more about how before the internet, there was no way to tell how many people liked that one weird thing that you do with your big toe. And then after the internet, it's there in black and white.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking about how interesting it is for people to have so much access through the internet and what they had to go through to get access to stuff with checking out a book or buying a
book.
You
mean back in the day?
Yes. Oh my gosh. What people must have gone through to just like read about or look at certain things. And I mean, even to like self-help books, there must have been so much shame around that because.
Well, yeah. That's what this book talks about too, is that people really just want to feel understood. And it's a lonely feeling when you feel like you're having these thoughts.
Sexual feelings towards a toe. That one big toe.
I mean, I'm sure people have weird things. I don't know.
No.
But, you know, it's a lonely place to think that, oh, I must be this super weirdo. But then, yeah, you go on the internet and it's like, oh, actually 3 million other people enjoy that.
That one big toe.
So Tig, in this documentary, this woman, Jane O'Brien, is hiring these guys and they're tickling each other. Although I think it is just one person receiving. It's not like they flip over. You know what I mean? Did you think that might happen? Did you think that somebody was going to be tickled and then...
And then it was their turn?
Yeah. And then they would...
Seems only fair.
They would swap. But it's so awkward because, like, they're sitting on top of the guy just, like, tickling their
armpits. That's what I mean. If it were gay guys and there was some sort of relationship or behavior between two people...
And they both were enjoying it.
Yeah, fine.
They don't even have to be... gay. I mean, two
right.
Heterosexual guys love to tickle.
But it was very odd to watch these like 15 to 20 year old guys straddling each other. And same goes for if it were would have been women. Like if there were just like
it would be weird. There, although there weren't any women being tickled in this.
No, but had there been.
Yeah, then what?
Like, let's say you and Stephanie didn't know each other. You showed up to some warehouse to make $2,000. You were straddling Stephanie.
Oh, God. And
but I guess you already told us. You'd be like, I got you.
it would be short.
You would have ruined those videos because you would have said, gotcha.
Yeah. See, I think, and I'm probably wrong, but it feels like women, if another woman was on top of me, tickling me, and I said, you know what, actually, that you've gone too far, I feel like she would listen and get off of me.
Hmm.
Do you feel like that?
Well, unless it was, what's her name, who's sending out that money?
Jane O'Brien?
Yeah. Jane didn't seem to have boundaries.
No. So what happened was, the long and the short of it, Jane was exploiting these guys.
Yes. She was preying on
guys that needed cash.
Yeah, guys that were
handsome and young.
Handsome, young, and broke. And in areas that had handsome, young, broke guys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Jane O'Brien's company did not like these two filmmakers setting out to make a film about it, and they were telling them they have to stop. They have to shut it down.
I mean, typical ticklers with no sense of humor. I mean, you've seen it before. You're one, Cheryl.
Ticklers.
Ticklers taking things a little too seriously.
Seriously. I mean, I never need to see one person tickled for the rest of my life after watching this film. It's like watching the bee film and people being stung. It's like, I don't ever need to see someone.
I wouldn't mind seeing you tickled. If I'm completely off. Oh, my God. What would you think if you and I were on, like, you know those massage tables?
Yeah.
What if we were each on our own massage table?
Yeah.
And we were separated by about 5 feet.
Yeah.
And we could face each other.
Okay.
And we were both being separately tickled and had to look at each other while we were being tickled.
I would be so angry.
And I know, but you'd be laughing you would have time to talk and express your anger. But we should release that for an episode. We should release.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody sees podcasts. I'm saying we should release the audio of us being tickled while we are making eye contact.
Who is tickling? Like Thomas and Gabby, our producers?
Her name is pronounced Gabby. How is it that you don't know how to pronounce your producer's first name or your co-host's last name?
I prefer Gabby.
I saw you leave something on Instagram the other day where you said, I do a podcast, the Tig Notaro.
I had to. By the way, that was the
you
second time I did it.
You mispronounced my name.
I feel like I mispronounced it the first time. I went back and corrected it.
Okay, can you say the word tar?
Tar? Yeah, I just said tar.
Right, so why don't you start using it in my last name like the rest of the population?
Notaro?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try. It just doesn't stick in my brain. I don't know why.
Clearly. I mean, how many years? And the fact that Gabby works for you and you're like, Gabby, yeah.
Because it reminds me of
Gobstopper. Yeah.
Well, and her last name is Stopper. She's much more beautiful than a Gobstopper.
Nobody ever thinks that Gabby is less attractive than a Gobstopper. Not one person has looked at Gabby and thought, she's cute, but not as cute as a Gobstopper.
I just don't think it fits her. In my mind, it doesn't fit her.
But that
Gobby.
Is none
it's
of
not
your
from
business.
That, but it is, because I see the world through my own eyeballs.
I see the world through mine. What if somebody was called, what if I felt like your name was better as, what if I always spelled your name S-H-E-R-Y-L H-I-N-E.
That's okay. It's happened before.
But always. I'm
saying
always.
I have a group of friends that call me Shirley.
I don't care about them. I'm asking you. Wouldn't you probably at one point just be like,
come on,
listen.
Commit it to memory. And then if you said to me, there's something in my brain that's taking up that space and I can't, it doesn't stick in my memory, I'd say, I understand. And that would be it.
How does it feel to be perfect?
It's exhausting. This is one of my friends sent me this. During the 16th, during the 16th century, tickling was used for corporal punishment. A Protestant sect would tickle transgressors to death. Can you die from
tickled to
tickling?
Well, you could if you didn't get to eat for like 2 months or have any water.
You know, my sister, Dr. Becky Hines, and I have a pact about if we die in a funny way, like it's going to be, it's okay to.
The story again. Go
well,
on.
I'm saying this would count if.
No, but tell the story.
Oh, well, if you die, you know, if you're like, get hit on the head with a coconut. And that's how you end up dying, which, I mean, it's sad because you'd still die, but it is, how can you tell that story? I mean, it would be okay to laugh when you tell the story.
It would be really funny if you got hit on the head with a coconut in the grocery store. Because somebody would pick, like, if somebody heard the story, they would assume you were on a tropical island.
Yeah.
But if you were just...
It was just a freak accident in the grocery store.
You're in Whole Foods or something.
And they were up too high.
And somebody was walking and the coconuts were up too high. Or somebody was walking and they slipped and... Whoa, 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 whoa,
Or...
Coconut hit
you. Yeah, like slip on a banana peel. I'm sure somebody must die from that, right? Every once in a while.
Maybe our producer, Thomas, can Google...
Anyway...
How many people have died from... Slipping on a banana peel.
Okay, you know what else?
In our tickle documentary episode.
Ancient Romans provided punishment through tickling, too. They tied offenders down, soaked their feet in salt, and had goats lick it off.
That sounded like a poem. You know, when I did my comedy show announcing that I had cancer, I felt like if I bombed when I
did
took that
show.
Leap of faith, and shared my turmoil and that the audience didn't, I wasn't able to make it funny or entertaining. And then I died soon after. Yeah. I thought that would be
funny.
That sounds like
that's tragic.
A dark funny that, that I went on stage. Where's your sense of humor? That I went on stage and I tried
like
to
dying
make light.
Breath, you, yeah.
Yeah. And then I bombed, and then I
just
nobody heard from me again. Yeah, and then I was buried, or cremated. Actually, is what I want. But there's something funny about that, right?
Yes, it seems sad. We did just get a message in from Thomas, our producer. A 1927 Tennessee death certificate for a 70-year-old hospitalized man shows patient slipped on banana peeling and fell shortly before death.
Banana peeling?
Banana peeling.
Oh.
Yeah. So he really did slip on a banana peel and died.
So there's only been one person. And that joke is so widely known.
It started
and
in
used
1927.
In cartoons.
So what happened to that
and
one poor guy? And it was like, that's hilarious. Yeah. Let's keep
and
this
alive.
And we
are still laughing and still making fun of him all these years later. And nobody else, everybody else is like, when they see a banana peel, they're like, whoa, I'm not going to be me. I am not going to be number two. I was hoping that when Thomas went on and competitively Googled that, that he would have seen a live tally.
That is like a ticker. That's just like,
just
there goes
a
another
ticker,
one. There goes another one.
Yeah. You know, when you see how many smoker deaths a year, you see that on like billboards and stuff.
That's
terrible.
No, it's terrible.
But what if you saw a billboard one day that was tallying
banana peel deaths?
Banana peel.
I mean, that would be a tough, it would be hard to know how you're supposed to react to that because, of course, it's not funny that somebody just died, but how many people. I mean, it is funny that so many people die of slipping on a banana peel. Okay, listen, we've got to circle back. Can I just say we've got...
I feel like I've said this on this show, and I'll say it again, because we are not afraid to repeat things. I feel confident I'm going to slip and die. Okay, go ahead.
Like in a funny way or not really?
Oh, no, it's never funny. It's so pathetic. It's always pathetic, which then is funny. You know,
like
there's
on
something
ice.
Funny.
Have you ever slipped on ice?
No, like getting out of my tub. Good Lord.
Hey, Grandma.
Good Lord. Yes.
Wow. You need some railings. You do. You really do. That's what helps you.
I know, but the top, the sides of the
slippery,
they're very high.
Ouch.
And so
you can't pick your
I'm
foot
always
up that
like,
high?
Here we go. I love everyone in the house.
That's like me walking down an icy street. I feel like this is it. I'm going down. I am going down, and a car is going to run over me. And
you need a walker. That's what those are for. You need a walker, with little tennis balls on the back.
I know. Doesn't it seem like you would make a lot of money if you invented like a good looking tennis ball that was meant for that? So it's not like,
I know.
So you're not having to use the actual bright green tennis ball, like a sexier one, like a, you know.
A sexy walker stopper.
That's right. Like a dark blue or charcoal gray or something.
If there's a lockdown again, if the numbers go back up, I know what you need to be doing with your time is getting that product.
Sexy tennis ball.
Sexy
tennis ball for the walkers.
And I love that it's singular. I mean, you clearly need two if you have a walker.
Two.
Sexy tennis ball. Oh, God. Help me. Hi, do you guys carry sexy tennis ball?
For the walker. Or, for the walker.
Like an old person voice.
Let's hear it.
You do it.
No. By the way, I'm sure that's offensive to old people.
Tennis players?
Listen.
To sexy people like me. Hashtag hot tig.
I can't
offended.
Get out of the bathtub. There's nothing sexier than that story.
I know. I always think it's going to happen when Stephanie's not home and then she's going to come in the bathroom. I'm going to be like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
And she'll be like, Cheryl was right. We should have gotten that railing.
Oh. One of the guys said that this phrase, I don't know how I feel about it. When he was describing
You Go Girl?
When he was describing Jane O'Brien, he said that she would get her rocks off by watching the tickling.
Yeah.
Do people say that? I got my rocks off.
Have you never heard that?
I mean, I have, but I haven't heard it in a long time.
In the 70s?
In the 70s. Yeah, are people still saying that? And would somebody say that about themselves? Like, hey, I'd like to get my rocks off by doing X, Y, and Z.
I don't know, Cheryl.
Okay.
What would you like to use in place of that?
Get my rocks off?
I don't
off?
Use that. Yeah.
What do you use?
I don't even know what I would use. What do you use?
I don't know. I don't think I use anything. I mean, I guess if you were going to use something, you'd say, you know what would feel good? You wouldn't say, you know what would get my rocks off? Now that I'm saying it out loud, is that just for men? Are they talking about balls?
I don't know. Maybe we should have our producer Google. Competitive Google.
Get my rocks off. Is that? I mean, now it sounds like, yes, it has to do with men and balls. Oh, that makes sense then. Okay.
Maybe you could start saying, I'd like to get my sexy tennis balls off.
I'd love to get my sexy tennis. You know what would get my sexy tennis balls off?
Do you carry sexy tennis ball?
Ball? Okay, so these guys, they start to expose Jane O'Brien. And now this is the point in our podcast when you
How relieved were you that it wasn't Soledad O'Brien? Press pause.
If you don't want to know what happens because you haven't seen the documentary yet, press pause. Turn off your vacuum. Press pause. Okay, because we're about to spill some beans.
What are our vacuum cleaners' names?
Aiden and Brandy.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, at this point, go ahead. Tell them what you just said.
I wasn't listening to you.
We find out that there is no Jane O'Brien. That it's a super creepy guy named David.
Wait, there's no... She wasn't real?
Tig.
Can I tell you, though, that was me in school all the time. Wait, what? They did? I didn't see that.
Like you just barely listening to anything anybody says, and once in a while you're like, oh, wait.
Nothing. What? Nothing.
So then these documentarians start to track down David D'Amato. And they find out that he's done some terrible things to these.
You say D'Amato, I say pervert.
He was creepy. I mean, he still is. I guess he's out there.
No, he's not.
He's not?
After the documentary came out, was announced.
Wait,
that he died.
Wait.
Oh.
Oh. Maybe we should have waited until the end.
I loved how earnest you were. Wait. The whole show will be ruined. It just proves how earnestly you want to keep all the beans contained.
Oh, my God.
Wait, no.
Don't tell him. Oh, my God. I had
he's either dead or he faked his death. You know,
right,
because
which is
nobody...
possible.
Yeah.
Because
knowing...
he assumed different, not personalities.
Wait! No.
Identities. He would, you know, he would find a social security number from a deceased woman and use that social security number to do all these terrible things. Like, really?
Right.
And he did spend 6 months in jail for that, but it was not long enough.
I wonder if anyone tickled him while he was in there.
Oh, my God. I mean, that I would Google.
Go ahead.
I mean, if I knew that
if you had the time,
that there was footage of him being tickled in prison.
You'd want to see that man tickle?
Well, I think I would just, you know.
Okay, what if I was like, Cheryl, meet me at this day spa, okay?
Yeah.
And you get on the... massage table. and look away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get on this massage table. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look away from you.
Okay.
I'm going to count to three.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know what? I'm going to count to 30. And then we'll look at each other.
Okay.
And what if we did that and I was D'Amato? And
then all
of a sudden the tickling started. You were being tickled, he was being tickled, and your heads couldn't turn. You had to look at each other.
I'm sure I would throw up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would just be a reaction.
Yeah.
Because he's really so creepy and disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I really liked about this film? One of our listeners said that they liked the way I say documentary because it sounds like I'm saying mint, but that's just the way I say it, I guess, documentary. But these guys are from New Zealand, and listen, I want you to hear how they pronounce documentary.
We're shooting a documentary, so we'll keep.
See, that's like me.
Documentary.
Yeah, that's how I say it.
That's not how you say it. That was the clip we went to.
That's the clip. I wanted you to hear him say documentary.
I keep flashing back to you going, wait. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so he died in 2000. I mean.
He either died or he didn't,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's wily.
But his online personas. Am I skipping ahead? I mean, I can't skip much more ahead.
No,
than
I think
him
this is
dead.
It. No, I think this. I think we are winding it. This is the end.
We're landing the plane.
Wait, did you have something to say that happened after he died?
No, I just never know if you're gonna.
Oh.
Yell at me.
Oh, of course I am. Are you ready for some final thoughts?
Yes.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Oh, God. Did you cry?
No.
But you laughed.
Do not treat me.
It's weird that you laughed. I mean, maybe at the beginning. At the beginning, would you think it's going to be a funny film?
Yeah.
And then when you find out that, like, it's like a tickle torture, did you still laugh or were you like, okay?
No. And quit using this as a way to find out if I'm mentally
sexually
ill. Sexually attracted to who?
Tickle things?
I know I'm not.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, I've never heard you so serious in my life. Wow. Okay.
I should have saved that for the serious moment, the serious place where we will be
when
in
we're going to be
day.
In, when I'm going to squeeze your left leg.
Wait, did you cry?
No. No. I was, what's the word? Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time, so uncomfortable.
Who were you attracted to?
I was attracted to David, the filmmaker. Yeah.
Me too.
He's so cute, right?
Yeah, really cute.
He was so cute.
Had a nice disposition.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did. He always tried to give everybody, you know, a chance to say their piece, whatever they want to say. He was very sweet about it and seemed smart. And his partner was funny because he hardly said a word.
Right. I remember when he talked for the first time, I was like, oh.
Me too.
Yeah, startled me.
Oh, because he said... Because at some point, they actually catch up with David D'Amato, and he goes, my heart is beating fast. Mm-hmm. And the other guy was like, me too. But anyway, yeah, the good David was awfully cute.
Our taste is really starting to line up, whereas the first 15 episodes of the show, we were polar splintered. Opposites, and now...
Well, I mean, when you watch Tina Turner documentary, and it's really just about one person, and it's Tina Turner, how could you not be attracted to... Tina Turner, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but even if there's more than Tina Turner in a movie, I'm still going to be into Tina Turner.
Before we go, do you want to read some true fan mail?
Yeah.
Okay. Emily S. writes, hi Tig and Cheryl. Every time Tig touches on her plant-based diet and being vegan, I just want more. I would listen to a full lecture from her on the subject, truly. I feel like I'm almost there personally and was wondering if Tig would drop some of her favorite recipes for the audience.
Well.
Do you have recipes?
Emily S., thank you. I'm so glad it's of interest to you. I hope you make the switch. I would say, here's one of my favorite meals.
Okay.
That my friend Beth and I argue all the time about who made this up. I think she did. She thinks I did. Okay. What you're going to want to do, Emily S., get yourself some raw spinach. Okay?
Okay.
Raw baby spinach. And fill up just a layer of it on a plate. Okay? On a regular.
All right.
And then dig in and enjoy. I'm kidding. And... okay, next, you're going to bake, and I'm not saying this is the order, but this is how it goes in order to make the meal, not necessarily in the cooking order.
Okay.
You bake a potato, a plain potato, okay?
Okay.
You don't have to put it in foil. You just...
Stick it in the oven, 350 for 55 minutes. Go ahead.
You bake that puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out. You cut it. I do four ways so you can, like, squeeze it open. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you put that baked potato on top of the spinach.
Okay.
Okay? Then you're going to get yourself an avocado. Mm-hmm. And you're going to cut that avocado into wedges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you put the little wedges around the plate. This is the presentation. Oh, Cheryl?
I'm sorry, Emily, but I'm getting bored out of my skull with this
go
one.
Do something else. Just careful of okay. banana peels.
Okay, so
so you
far,
put the you put the avocados around mm-hmm. the plate okay. at the on the edge there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you're gonna get yourself not salsa. Do not ruin this by getting mm-hmm. salsa.
Cashew.
Thomas,
butter.
Have you had this? Have I made this for you before? Is it delicious? It
yes,
is so he
just
thumbs
gave this
up.
Thumbs up.
Nodding.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we're all on the edge of our seat. Okay. I hope people are yeah, go ahead.
You get yourself some fresh, whether you make it or you go to a Mexican restaurant and get it or the grocery store, pico de gallo. Okay. It has to be fresh and it has to, you got to get a lot of it.
Okay.
And it's good if it's like sat for a couple of days in your mm-hmm. refrigerator so it gets like juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no butter, no nothing in that potato.
Is this the whole recipe?
Cheryl, have I finished talking?
Okay, keep going.
Okay. You squeeze that tater open.
Yes.
You dump pico de gallo mm-hmm. into the potato,
mm-hmm.
the plain potato,
mm-hmm.
and make it a healthy portion.
Okay.
Okay. And make sure the juices of the pico de gallo oh is God. Like really filling the potato. And then.
Oh my God. Yes.
And then you get yourself.
A fork.
Some balsamic vinaigrette.
Vinaigrette. Okay, great.
And you pour that balsamic vinaigrette on your potato with the pico de gallo. And okay. and I would say not like smother it.
Okay. Okay. You know what, Tig? We've got to move on. And I think
and then
that's
you
great
cut into
to
your
potato and then you eat it. And
then
have a bite
no,
of,
but here's no, what's important.
No.
You make sure
you have a bite of all of the different flavors of the avocado and the spinach and the. We get it.
It can't be cooked spinach. It has to be raw spinach.
Spinach baby
it cannot
spinach.
Be salsa.
Can I tell you what Becky
pico
G
de gallo.
Says? Can I tell you?
Now
what
you
Becky
tell
G
me. Mm-hmm. And this meal that Beth and I created separately, one of us made it. It is called tater time.
Okay.
That's what we call it, tater
all right.
time.
Okay. I hope we can...
Enjoy your tater time, okay. Emily. Write in. Will you write in and say, Tig told me to write in and tell her if I like tater time.
Okay.
And everyone else that heard this and is making tater time, you write in and let me know what you think. It is so good.
Can I tell
go ahead,
you,
Cheryl.
Can I tell you what Becky G writes?
Oh, yeah.
Dear Tig and Cheryl, if you're reading this on air, Tracy in Prague and Becky in Washington State are losing their minds. Here's the scoop. We are dear friends separated by miles who meet up each Monday via your podcast. What follows your weekly episodes is several days of texts, laughter, and connection. Thank you for all you offer this friendship. Sorry, I'm not wearing my glasses. We adore your podcast. When your show goes live, we are committed to traveling not only for a reunion, but also to offend Cheryl with our matching Hey Girl, Hey tank tops. Please look for us in the audience. P.S. Cheryl, you and Tracy are both from Florida, attended the same university, and graduated the same year. Oh, my God. Does this make you want to own a matching tank top, too? Mm-mm.
Hey Girl, Hey.
I can't.
Or I would say Nay Girl, Nay. Nay, girl, nay. What do you think of that? It's pretty good.
It's, yeah. I like that these ladies, I mean,
that's really
amazing. That's a long distance. And I like that they're going to get together just to show me their tank tops that I'm not going to like.
Are you still excited by the idea of doing live shows together?
Yeah, I am.
It'd be so fun.
It would be so fun.
Oh, my gosh. It would be so
fun. Oh, my God.
Fun.
We'll have to just travel around and see our peeps.
Before we went on the road, we could also do live Zoom shows, too.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. Maybe people can write in and let us know.
Us know if that interests you, if you're like, oh.
Because if it seems like we're not getting a huge reaction, we probably won't do it. But if we get like a bunch
hey girl,
of people
hey.
Writing in being like, hey, girl, hey, then we'll do it. But if we get a lot of nay, girl, nay.
Oh, gosh, it hurts.
And if we get a lot of nay girl nays, then we're going to go on the nay girl nay tour, are we not?
With like three people in the audience.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Do you have anything to promote?
I'm going to say no, because you can Google stuff, and they can Google stuff on you. Okay.
Army of the Dead is on Netflix.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And my HBO special comes mm-hmm. out this summer.
Mm. Okay.
Also check out Under a Rock with Tig.
Oh, God.
Online.
Okay. That's all we got.
Should we do it again?
Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.